Certainly been blessed this morning with many challenges, very practical in relation to the Sunday school lesson and material things. I really like that quote. It was in our the comments on the lesson. There's a quote from Clement of Alexandria. It says, wealth is like a viper, which is harmless if a man knows how to hold it. But if he does not, it will twine around his hand and bite him. Very picturesque as we think about the snares of materialism. I'm sure as many thoughts have gone through our minds as you think about this, something we deal with really every day, one way or another. I had to think what the scripture says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. It helps to put us in perspective because it says we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we will carry nothing out. I had to also think of Abraham and Lot. Abraham was wealthy. Lot wished to be wealthy. And Hebrews tells us that Abraham, when he left the land of wealth to become a nomad, wandering, living in tents, Hebrews says he did not look back. Because if he had looked back, it says that he would have had opportunity to have returned. Then you think of Lot, his nephew, Lot's wife, who looked back. You see that contrast. It's a very interesting word picture. Well, we have a lot of challenges as we relate to all these things. We're glad this morning that Brother Pete Fair and his family, some of his family are here with us from Sterling, Alberta, and he consented to bring the message. Let's stand for prayer for the message. Father, we thank you for the warnings of Scripture. We realize this morning that we all live in this world and have to do with this material world around us, but Father, help us to be saved from the snares of this material world that are trying to encroach upon our souls, upon our lives. And may we understand the real value of eternal things. We also thank you this morning that Brother Pete consented to preach for us, and we pray your blessing upon him as he shares with us from the scriptures. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Greet you in Jesus' name here this morning. It's good to be with you here. A part of my heart is with you. As you know, my daughter is here teaching for you, and so it makes us think of you a lot more. Not we didn't think of you before and other times, but you have a person that's dear to you here, it makes it more a part of you. I'm not sure how to say it, but I think you know what I mean. This morning, I had a hard time deciding what I wanted to share with you here this morning, but at home, I did a series on the five senses. So I took the senses and did a message on each one. And this morning I chose to share the last one that I did with you here. And that's the one on hearing. And so we know the other five, sight, touch, smell, and taste. And so this morning it's hearing. And I'm going to be looking at some of the mechanics of hearing, or the science behind it, or how it works. We're going to look at that at the beginning of the message here, and then we'll go on to some scripture applications. So your hearing system has many different working parts. Your outer ear directs the sound waves to your eardrums and causes your eardrums to vibrate. These vibrations move through your middle ear and into your inner ear. Finally, these signals travel to your brain, which translates them into what you hear. And what is hearing or auditory processing is another way of saying it. It refers to the awareness of sounds and placing meaning to those sounds. It involves a complex series of steps in which several parts of your ear and auditory nervous system work together harmoniously. And there's different parts. Your auditory system consists of a number of different parts. First of all, your outer ear, we talked about that already. Your middle ear, your inner ear, your auditory nervous system. And successful hearing requires that all of these parts, requires all of these parts to function properly. So your outer ear is a part that you see. It consists of what they call the pinna and your ear canal. Your pinna is the visible external part of your ear. It funnels sound into your ear canal like a reverse megaphone. Your middle ear consists of your eardrum, or tympanic membrane, and your ossicles, tiny sound-conducting bones called the malleus, incus, and stapes. All the words that don't really mean that much to me or to you, but it's interesting to read them. Your eardrum sits at the very end of your ear canal. Your ossicles, located on the other side of your eardrum, carry sound vibrations to your inner ear. Your inner ear contains a spiral-shaped structure called the cochlea, which means snail shell, and I think that's because it resembles a snail shell. Tiny hair cells line the inside of your cochlea. When sound vibrations reach these hair cells, they transmit signals to your auditory nerve. Then your auditory nervous system runs from your cochlea to a station in your brain stem known as the nucleus. From that station, neural impulses travel to your temporal lobe where your brain attaches sound to meaning. So that's some of the mechanics or the science of the ear, how God created it. So you have sound waves traveling through your ear canal to your eardrum, causing it to vibrate. The vibrations travel from your eardrum to your ossicles, the tiny bones in your middle ear. Your ossicles send the vibrations to your cochlea, a spiral cavity in your inner ear that's lined with hair cells, and these tiny hair cells vibrate and send messages to your auditory nerve that is connected to your, connects your ears to your brain. Your brain receives this information and translates it into sound. In other words, your brain is where your sense of hearing comes to life. And it's hard for us to really understand how that all works, and it points to the amazing capability of the Creator. But that is really only the beginning of of what hearing is. There's all this thing of sound localization, or the ability to accurately tell where a sound comes from, or how far away the sound might be. There was a long article on Wikipedia about sound localization, and I didn't copy that down, decided not to read it. It's long, and it uses many big words. But in scanning over it, to summarize, there's many factors that go into telling where a sound is coming from and how far away the sound is made. So first of all, it has to do with us having two ears and the time delay between sound reaching one ear and then the other. And that's a very minuscule delay down to milliseconds. And yet God created us to be able to sense that difference, or ears sense that difference and see, oh, that sound came from over there. It also has something to do with the head being between the ears and how that affects the sound from one ear to the other. And I actually think that scientists don't totally understand how God made that all to work, actually. They think they have it kind of figured out, but they don't. And so it's a marvel of our all-knowing, superior, intelligent Creator God. There's this thing of hearing loss. There's a number of factors that contribute to hearing loss. One is simply getting older, and our body's not working like they used to. Another one is spending time around loud noises that can cause your hearing to get worse. Disease is another one. So there's a lot of factors that can cause hearing loss. My grandma is 107 years old, and she's still alive. She can still hear, although she hears hard. She has been hard of hearing since she was around 18 years of age, I think she told me. And I'm not sure. I think it was some kind of disease that caused that. I don't know the details of that. And she told me, she said, when she was young, well, she said, today there's a lot of people that are hard of hearing. She notices that. When she was young, she felt like she was kind of the only one. Everybody else could hear well except her. But now there's a lot of other people, so she has companionship in that, I guess. But she was a pioneer in the technology of hearing aids. She talked of different early clumsy affairs where she had a piece in her ear and a receiver separate and some of those things. They helped some, but not an awful lot. And even today, with the newest technology, still she can hear, but not that great. Leaves a lot to be desired. A man cannot bring things back to how God made them originally. But just an interesting story that she told me. She said when she was dating Grandpa, they were engaged to be married, and one day her dad took her aside and he said, Have you told Herman about your hearing problem? Have you told him about it? And she said, well, no, she hasn't. And her dad said, well, I think you should. And so she did. She told him about it. And she looked at me and she said, it didn't make any difference. He still wanted me. So, okay. Let's look then at the hearing in the Bible. We'll start in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke, and things were created. There was nobody around. There was the Trinity that heard him speak, but there was no person around to hear him speak. And yet the elements heard him, and he created the elements, and they formed whatever God wanted to them to. There's 11 times in the first chapter of Genesis that these words are used. It says, And God said, and it happened. And in verse 28 to 30, there God speaks to the man. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God had created man. Male and female created he them. And we don't have that detail in chapter 1 how he did that. It just says he created them. But he talks to them, and they are able to hear him. In chapter 2, then, God has some instructions for them. Verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And we know that man heard, was able to hear this word that God gave them, because if we go on to chapter 3, when the serpent asks Eve about that, she repeats them back to him. She had heard what God had said. Their hearing was working just fine. They had heard God, and they believed him up until this point. But now suddenly we have another voice speaking to them, and they're listening to another voice, a voice that came from a totally different direction. And Eve here did not stop to consider where this voice was coming from. She just listened to it and did like what she heard, and she disobeyed God. Up until this time, God's voice had been pleasant to them. When God had come and communed with them in the cool of the evening, it had been a pleasure. But now, since they disobeyed, suddenly when they heard the voice of God, it was no longer pleasant, and they were afraid and hid themselves. And they had this conversation with God, wherein they heard what God said and understood what they had done and the results of it. Let's look at a couple more examples of God speaking. Exodus chapter 3, we have Moses at the burning bush. We know that story well. Moses was in the backside of the desert, came to Horeb, and he looked up and he saw this bush was burning, and it wasn't consumed. And he said, "Well, this is now strange. I got to see what this is, how this is working." And so he turned aside, and when God saw him turn aside, God started talking to him, and he called his name. He said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses heard him. His ears were working just fine. And from that moment on, Moses' life was changed. He had since spent those 40 years there in the wilderness preparing for this moment, and his life was changed, and God gave him a work to fulfill. Solomon heard God in a dream in 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, "In Gibeon, God came to Solomon in a dream and asked him what he would want, what God should give him." And we know Solomon's humble answer at that time, that he just asked for wisdom to serve the people. And God tells him, "Because I am pleased with what you have asked for, I will also give you what you have not asked for." And Solomon heard this voice of God in his dream. How do I hear the voice of God today? Does God still speak today? We know that the answer is yes. He rarely speaks in an audible voice to anyone. He does speak in visions. We hear about that, and we hear about that especially in the Muslim world. God comes to people in dreams there. Jesus comes to them and tells them who he really is and tells them to seek him. But God speaks to us through the written word. We have his word, and that's how he speaks. He speaks to us through words spoken by others. Preaching or teaching or just person-to-person exhortation, always that God speaks to us today. He speaks to us through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us through a properly trained conscience. Through nature and creation, he speaks and reveals himself. Another question is, how do I know that it is the voice of God that I'm hearing today? We have access to so many voices today. touch of a button, touch of a screen, we can have all kinds of voices talking all kinds of different things, contradictory things, things that we want to hear, things that we don't want to hear. There's just all kinds of voices. And so this is where, in the spiritual realm, sound localization comes in. and it doesn't come as naturally in the spiritual as it does in the physical. Although I think to the true seeker, to the true follower of God, maybe it comes more naturally than we think. Maybe it's our own heart that makes it not come as naturally, because we're not following God as closely as we should. But where is the sound coming from? Is it coming from a place that lines up with the written word? 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And so when these voices come, do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Not only that he came as a baby and lived as a human being, but confessing that Jesus came in the flesh, it encompasses all his life and all his purpose. And his purpose today, including his death and resurrection and his ascension and him being at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And it encompasses the fact that he was God's final answer to the needs of mankind. There's not another answer. Jesus is the answer. Is God's ultimate plan till the end of time. So if the voices that we hear confess all of this, then they are of God. Isaiah 30, verse 21, talks about hearing a word behind us. It says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." The word coming from behind us. And when we're walking with God, when we allow him to lead us, he will bring that word to us from behind us and guide us along. Isaiah 55:3, "Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Incline your ear and come unto me. Sometimes when we hear a sound, we're not sure of it, but we kind of know where it came from, and we'll turn our ear. And especially I have some friends that don't hear well out of one ear. One ear works well, but the other one doesn't so well, and you can see them. They cock the good ear towards you when you're talking to them. They incline your ear to you because they want to hear what you're saying. And I think that is what the prophet is speaking of here, to incline your ear, to turn your ear towards God, get it in position where it can hear clearly what God is saying, and confirm the source, and then act on what you hear, and your soul will live, it says. Let's look then at Hebrews chapter 3. A number of verses there. Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 16. Says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Verse 6 there talks of the faithfulness of Jesus as Moses was faithful. Moses was a faithful servant, although he made some mistakes, but he was faithful as a servant. Jesus is faithful as a master of his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And then verse 7 starts out with wherefore, because of this, because Jesus is faithful, make sure you hear his voice. As the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, so that you don't end up having your heart hardened like the Israelites in the wilderness. Verse 13, we have another thing we need to hear, and we've touched on that already, and that is each other. Exhort one another daily, or the word regularly could be substituted for daily. To regularly exhort one another, to regularly urge each other to heed the voice of God is a biblical command. And may we be faithful in that, giving and receiving exhortation. Then down in verse 16, it says, some when they had heard did provoke. We focus on that. We tend to focus on that, or I've noticed that kind of can tend to be our focus that on the ones that did provoke. But here it says it was just some that did. Not all. Not all. Some heard and obeyed. They had truly listened. And that brings me to my next point here. The concept of hearing and listening. What is the difference between hearing something and actually listening to what is being said? And it's a problem that I can have sometimes. Hear someone talking, but my mind is off somewhere else. I'm not listening to them. My family reminds me of that. I've done some manufacturing equipment, inventing, modifying things, equipment. And when I'm in the middle of it, trying to figure out how I can make this work, I can be pretty focused on that. And I hear them talking to me, but I'm distracted with what I'm thinking about, so I'm not listening. And it's something that I need to work on, to truly listen when someone speaks. When we listen to someone, we give them our undivided attention. And when we listen to God, we give him our undivided attention. And then we act on what we hear. In Ezekiel 33, there's some very interesting verses, a very interesting thought there about the people. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 33. It says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." These people are listening to Ezekiel, and they act like they want to hear. They show much love. They say what beautiful things Ezekiel is saying to them. But their heart is covetous, and they're not really listening. It all sounds good, and they try to make them feel good, but they're not really listening. And he has a pleasant voice. He's like one that plays well on an instrument. But and they hear the words and they don't do them. I wonder sometimes if that can be a tendency in my heart. A good message is preached. Maybe it's an evangelist or maybe it's a local minister, and he preaches a really good message, and we go home and we say, or we tell him, that was a beautiful message. But it makes no change in our lives. We go home and we go on as we did before. I remember an experience with a man. We were talking about some things, certain things of how we do. And he said, you know, he said, I should improve in that. I really should change and do better. But as time went on, I really didn't see any change. It was the same thing over and over again. And felt like I was a lovely song to him. Pleasant voice, played well on a beautiful instrument, but that's as far as it went. And just maybe be encouraged to when we hear a good message, a good exhortation, when we hear that we would act on it then. We have the same thought in James 1, 22 to 24. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, but deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We have the hearing the word, but not listening to us, going away and forgetting, and it profits us nothing. There's this thing of hearing and being heard. Sometimes there's two people that will talk past each other. Their way of thinking is different enough that they don't understand each other's thought patterns, or they might be so focused on their own interpretation of a situation that they cannot allow themselves to make sense of what the other person says. They hear each other but cannot listen properly to each other for various reasons. And we have an answer for that, or somewhat of an answer for that, in Philippians chapter 2. Verse verses 1 to 5. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when that happens, we're called here to be like-minded. Fulfill ye my joy, Paul says, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And we focus on that, trying to be that. It will greatly aid in being able to hear each other. Then we have the putting away, the thought of the putting away of strife and vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is basically pride. Don't do things for pride or to just be contrary. But have a lowliness of mind. Esteeming the other person, esteeming their ideas better than your own. And then finally, having the mind of Christ. This will go a long ways in being able to hear others and for others to even hear us when we come in lowliness of mind and when they sense that we esteem their ideas, their thoughts. And so we have the sense of hearing. It is a wonderful sense to have. We enjoy it. We enjoy being able to hear things. When someone can hardly hear and you're trying to have a conversation with them, it gets really frustrating for both people. When someone is totally deaf, they learn to hear in other ways. They might lip read or use sign language. If someone has been deaf since birth, they may have a hard time speaking clearly as well. Although I believe it was Helen Keller, who was both blind and deaf, I understand she learned to speak quite clearly by using her fingers and feeling how people moved their lips and their tongue as they spoke. And so deaf people can learn to communicate quite effectively. However, we are thankful when we can hear and can hear well. May we learn to always heed what we hear. Take heed that the right things we hear, that they sink into our heart and become part of our life and guide us in how we live. And the wrong things that we hear, that we would discard them. John 5, 24 and 25, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. May we hear that voice of the Son of God so we can truly live. We were all dead in sin at one point and heard the voice of God and found life, found eternal life here on earth, and looking forward to eternity with Him. May God bless. Let's lead and let's kneel for prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning, the close of the service. Thank you for being here with us. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we can look into, that we can hear, that it can guide us in our lives, that it can show us the way to eternal life and the way we should walk. Lord, I pray that we might ever heed that and that it would guide us. We pray for your people, Lord, wherever they are gathered, that you would bless them, especially think of those that have to gather in secret, that they would remain true and faithful to you. Pray for your kingdom to come, for your kingdom to grow. And I pray for your kingdom here at Crest and the church here, Lord. I pray that you would bless them, be very near, to strengthen and comfort them, and may they rise to be your true bride. Just bless them in their work here and their witness. Pray that you would go with us all as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.